Feel like you're stuck in career limbo? Clock in, clock out, repeat. No growth, no new opportunities. It's time to break out and break into tech. With CBT Nuggets, you can start building the IT skills that companies are hiring for right now. We make training fast, simple, and practical. From networking to cybersecurity, you'll get short, easy-to-watch videos and hands-on virtual labs so you can build real-world skills without expensive gear or complicated setups. For just $59 a month, you get unlimited access to our full training library. That includes certifications, skill-based learning, and practice exams, a $100 value included free. Learn anytime, anywhere, and get job ready on your terms. Thousands have used CBT Nuggets to launch new careers, and you can too. Right now, CBT Nuggets is offering a free trial. Easily find the training you need and test it out with no commitment. Start your 7-day free trial now at cbtnuggets.com. Don't wait. A better job is just a few clicks away.
My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, a podcast where I, your host, try to give you some tips on how you can explain all this weird, wild, crazy conspiracy stuff to the people you love most. Because that's what I've been trying to do for the past 10 years with no success. I've been telling everybody that our government is shady. But every time I do, my family thinks I'm crazy. The hollow earth, UFOs, aliens invading. Pour it in the water, they spray our skies daily. When I talk about these things, they think I'm crazy. There's no escaping anymore, the evil that we're facing. Illuminati mind control, they're sacrificing babies. The end of days, but anyways, my family thinks I'm crazy.
What, they don't want to listen to you?
No, they don't want to listen. They don't want to hear it. They're just like, oh, here we go, Mark. Off again with your
Mark being Mark again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's the thing about podcasts is when you're on the air, and it's like therapy, you know. If I can't talk to my family about this stuff, I'll talk to you, Matt, and all our listeners.
You'll just tell your whole podcast.
Yeah. So who are we talking about today, Matt?
This podcast you're about to listen to was presented by Susquehanna Alchemy, Aether Arts, and Barefoot Appalachia with the help of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. I'm your host, Mystic Mark, and enjoy this unconventional episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast.
Like the paradigm box is like, I'm in astrology, I'm for astrology, astrology is important. Or astrology is a bunch of shit, and, you know, I'm into astronomy, or, like, you know, it's just either or. And, you know, I kind of take a middle path. And I think there's nothing more important for a human being alive with an awareness of the mystery. There's nothing more important for them to know than their natal chart. It doesn't mean what their natal chart means. It means, like, no, I literally know all the placements. I know that my sun's at this degree in this sign, in this zodiac, and my north node is in this degree in this sign, in this zodiac. If you can know your social security number, if you have your social security memorized, you paradigm, if you don't know your natal chart, your value system is so upside down. This place is a total mystery. I don't know what it is. I may know how it works, but I don't know what it is. And if I decide to accept one of the multiple explanations for what this thing is, I realize that I'm collapsing all other possibilities. So, I mean, you do whatever you want to do, like you're a captain of your ship, but I'm coming at it from, like, this is a mystery, and I recognize that. And then how does this place work? And that is both in terms of understanding paradigm, and then also understanding what your inner world is, and understanding that relationship between the two, the feedback loop. Always saying, I don't know exactly what this place is, so I can't say that this is good or bad because I don't know why I'm here. I just know that I'm here. And the Grounding Consciousness course is specifically teaching the techniques of, once you understand the role of how your mind works to what the life you live will be, how to utilize that to become connected outside.
ladies and gentlemen, here we are on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast times Susquehanna Alchemy times Etheric Arts plus Cole. Welcome to this unorthodox episode that is inspired by Mike's excellent grounding consciousness course, which we were all a part of, and naturally Mike led the class. So I'll let Mike take it away and talk about what inspired the class. I guess we kind of touched on that in our first conversation, but how do you think it went, considering this was your first sort of venture into something like this online course with a group of people who elected to be there? I don't know any other way to describe the odd bunch, but it was a great bunch of people. I don't know that the four of us totally represent them as a whole, but yeah, Mike, you should take it away.
So just like in full disclosure, before we hit the record, before we started the recording of this episode, I said to you, Mark, I'm like, Mark, will you kind of carry this? Will you just like lead? Will you lead where this goes? Will you like kind of like allow me to kind of sit back and you with your expertise as like someone who's done over 500 episodes, will you lead this for me?
Oh,
and you're like, of course, I got this for you, brother. I got this for you. So I'm like sitting back. I'm like, okay, how this is going to go? Because there's always a little bit of like of anticipatory energy whenever you're doing a show like this. And then it was within 30 seconds, Mark's like, okay, Mike, why don't you run with it? And I'm like, what the hell did you just do to me?
All right, let's.
We're running with it. We're running with it because this is how I like to do it. So
it's been so long since we've done your handbook for the apocalypse. I forgot even how that introduces. I think I don't even do a live intro for that show. We just get right into it. So yeah.
All right. Well, so how about this? Let's start. We've got two special guests who are on the show, and let's give them let's just introduce them. We'll give them an opportunity to say hello.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, I needed the reprimand. Cole, Aaron, welcome to the show. Introduce yourselves. Aaron, why don't you go first?
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. My name is Aaron, and online I go by Etheric Arts. And I am a multidisciplinary guy. You know, I run a couple businesses. And one of the things that I think will be of more interest to the listeners on this show will be my work with geomancy, geopathic dowsing, and geobiology, and energy technologies as well. And also my extensive study into like ether physics and alternative science. So that's kind of what I'm bringing to the table today and hoping to tie in some of the discussion in regards to the course that Mike brought us through so well. I am also a fencing instructor, and I also love running markets and things. I'm really big into private economy, local circular economies and things. So if anybody's curious about that, I'd be thrilled to answer some questions or give you some questions to ask. But yeah, that's a little bit about me. And this is my good friend Cole, also known as Barefoot Appalachia on YouTube.
I'm going to pause real quick, Cole, because I wanted to give you the full space, but I got to go and respond to Aaron before he hops in. I first met Aaron probably like what, 6 or 7 years ago?
Yeah, I'd say it's about 7 years ago now.
Right when Susquehanna Alchemy first started, when I was in Marietta, Pennsylvania, and you came into my apartment and we did a starboard session. And you were a young man about the time, maybe 18 years old. You're still a young man.
I was 18 at that time, and it was a birthday present to myself, actually, to get a starboard session from you, Mike. So that was like what I did with my $100 that my grandma gave me for my 18th birthday. I booked a session with you.
That was phenomenal. And then after that, you turned 18, and I'm pretty certain you're homeschooled. Is that correct?
That's right.
And you started a journey. You started a journey, and you started dancing with life in a way which like is kind of uncommon in the modern world, where you kind of followed your interests coupled with like where life is bringing you. And that was probably about a 5 or 6 year period. And along the ways, you've like, you've studied both like magical arts and alternative physics and all of these different things. And they've kind of coalesced to where you are right now is what? You're probably 26, 27 years old. You're in central, West Central North Carolina. And now you're really stepping into like yourself. As you're becoming like a man, like an adult, like you're like all of these experiences have taken root. And I say this as like a big fan of Aaron. Like Aaron has been around Susquehanna Alchemy for a long time. I've known you as like an 18-year-old, and I know you now, and I've seen your growth, and I see your expertise, and I see the energy you bring and the commitment you bring to everything. And so I want to include that. You're not just some random guy who I've invited on the show. You're someone who I really value. I value you as a human being and as a supporter of Susquehanna Alchemy and just like, a fan of your journey. So I wanted to put that into the context of where we're going to go.
Well, thanks a lot, Mike. I really appreciate you sharing that with the folks who are listening and also just with me. I appreciate your words, man.
You're
And
welcome.
Susquehanna Alchemy has been a big part of my journey, and I've done a lot of exploration along the Susquehanna River, especially along the 40th parallel area, all of those parks there. And I've honestly done a ton of trespassing onto other people's property in honor of the land. And to share stones with different hilltops and practice some mound freedom activities, releasing the energy from places that were once stagnant. So the Susquehanna has been a big part of my journey. Your work has been a big part of my journey, and it's an honor to be here today to be able to be on a show with you and with Mark as well.
Well,
But
yeah, Mark is
yeah,
phenomenal.
Mark's an OG.
And now we're gonna I'm gonna pivot a little bit and go to Cole, the gentleman on Aaron's right. And I met Cole, I guess was in July in Asheville, North Carolina, on what turned out to be the final ceremony of the River and Stars ceremony tour. And Cole's what, like probably 24? Are you 24 years old, Cole?
Yeah, 24.
24 years old from Richmond, Virginia. And I used to live in Richmond, so I've got a real fond spot. I've got a real fond spot of places. And so if I got a connection to someone through a place, like that's always very meaningful to me. And when I found out you were from Richmond, like, and the age you're at, which is about the same age I was when I lived in Richmond, I just felt like a simpatico. I felt a resonance. And you just have such an enthusiastic fire for life. And you bring that to all of your interactions, or at least the interactions which I have seen. And for those who don't know you, like you have been able to, in the chaos of the online world, you've established a tent stake with the sort of work which you do, which has resonated with, I don't know, like, you've got like a really big online following, just being you and the type of work you do. And that is a reflection, I think, of anything of like that type of fire I was describing. So with that being said, like, why don't you tell like the folks here, like kind of what it is that is your driving force, and what people are responding to in such large numbers.
Thanks for the intro, Mr. Mike. That's so good. Yeah, I'm Cole, Barefoot Appalachia. That's my social medias. I really just was living a certain type of life, working in HVAC, and was like, this is what everyone says to do. I want to learn a trade so I don't have to go to college. And then I came to a point where I decided I wanted my life to be more meaningful. So I started my business, and long story short, decided that that wasn't meaningful enough for me, and I wanted to go out and plant fruit trees. And during that time, where I was saving up money for a farm, scoping out land, trying to make sure that I get like a really nice piece without pollution, away from the cities where I can do what I want, no zoning, It's a very long story, but pretty much everything fell through. And I got to a point in my life to where I'm like, well, I got to leave Richmond. I don't want to be in the suburbs. I don't want to be doing the same businesses that I am right now. And I finally figured out the money code, right? And I was making some decent money, but like my personal relationships were like everything was just revolving around business and not even in the fun way. You know, people are talking about like, you know, closing costs and interest rates. And I was like, where the homies at? So I ended up leaving that business and leaving town. And since I didn't have a farm for me to plant my hundreds of fruit trees on, I decided I was just going to go out into the forest and, you know, areas that everyone can enjoy along rivers and just start rewilding the earth. And while I was on top of this snowy mountain in Virginia, I saw that, you know, the Forest Service had planted some spruce trees on top of the mountain because they were staked in there. And I was like, man, like, you can't eat that, but it's kind of cool. I was like, I was here 4 years ago. You know, if we planted like an apple tree or a persimmon, like I would be in fruit right now. And so would everyone else who is visiting this campsite. So I decided I wasn't going to go to another camp spot or another river or hang out anywhere on the land unless I either had a tree with me or seeds in my pocket. And throughout this whole journey of, you know, being nomadic and pretty much going on this journey of intuition and praying and then also seeing what resonates with me and what's good for the world at the same time, I've been listening to the call of my soul slash whatever God's putting into my soul. It's kind of funny how that is. And it just ended up with me planting a lot of trees and driving around and ending up in towns and meeting people like Aaron. Aaron really opened my eyes up to this whole space. It's like everything that, you know, you guys would talk about on your podcast. I didn't know anyone like that. Everyone, like I said, was just all interest rates and, you know, oh man, we're gonna, you know, buy a fourplex and, you know, we're gonna house hack and, you know, we can, you know, finance this PPP loan. And it was like not very exciting for my soul. It was like, you know, cool Babylon stuff, better than working at like Kmart. But yeah, Aaron really opened me up into that. And we started traveling together all the way from South Florida up into Tennessee, North Carolina. Now he's got his spot here. So every time I'm traveling through, we'll hang out for a week or so. And yeah, it's all about just rewilding the earth, nurturing nature, actually being a part of the ecosystem instead of observing it and just acting like it's a museum with gates up and, you know, oh man, yeah, a lot of people just go in and like the forest is best, you know, left untouched. But historically, the natives of the land, the people who had lived there had strategically managed the forest so that it would provide for them, but they would also give back a lot. And as I like to say, compost to the land so that the fruits that she bears are for everybody to enjoy. And I just really want to see the world where, you know, there's cherry trees on every corner, there's beans growing up the poles on the stop signs, and every park you go to has fresh figs. Yeah, and if I can just hop in here real quick and say, like, love that, Cole, and I love what you're doing. It's a great mission, my man. Like, he does it better than anyone else planting fruit trees, and in a lot of ways, it's related to the course that Mike taught, because what Cole is doing is he's connecting to nature by being in nature and by interacting with it directly. And I feel that there's some parallel there between the course that you recently taught, Ground and Consciousness, Mike, and perhaps you can expound on that.
Brother, that you're giving me a layup. All right. So I guess that was the impetus for the conversation we're having right now. And in Mark's introduction, he kind of made reference to the course, and he said that, well, what was it like, Mike? You know, what was it like this first time around? But it wasn't the first time. This is the fourth iteration, which I have taught this course, but it keeps changing. It began as natural astrology, and now I've just renamed it, but conceptually it was the same. And I'm calling it grounded consciousness, grounding consciousness. And I had personally asked all three of you to participate in it. I've taught the class before. I'm aware of kind of how it meets people and obviously what the content was. And each of you, I felt that this class would meet you on your individual journeys. They're different, but they're very, very paralleled. And what makes your journeys parallel is there is a high degree of authenticity in it. And what I mean by that is like you're doing what the fuck you want. Like that's what's being authentic is like Cole was describing, like, oh, I had a good job, like with my business. What was it? Like, were you house painting? You were doing something like on that level of, and you're like, I could support myself and I can make a Babylon life this way. And then you're like, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something else. And all three of you have done that. And that in itself is commendable. But the grounding consciousness class is intended to really support that type of attitude someone would take to life, regardless if they're going to be as fully committed as each of you three are to your unique paths. Not everyone is necessarily comfortable or capable to make the commitment that you three have to your life path. So the grounded consciousness course is very much the process of understand of first and foremost a recognition of like, I don't know what the hell any of this place is. This place is a total mystery. I don't know what it is. I may know how it works, but I don't know what it is. And if I decide to accept one of the multiple explanations for what this thing is, I realize that I'm collapsing all other possibilities. So, I mean, you do whatever you want to do, like you're a captain of your ship, but I'm coming at it from like, this is a mystery and I recognize that. And then the second part is, how does this place work? And that is both in terms of understanding paradigm and then also understanding what your inner world is and understanding that relationship between the two, the feedback loop. Always saying was like, I don't know exactly what this place is, so I can't say that this is good or bad because I don't know why I'm here. I just know that I'm here. And the grounding consciousness course is specifically teaching the techniques of once you understand the role of how your mind works to what the life you live will be, how to utilize that to become connected outside of the demarcation of paradigm in order for, I like how you described it, Cole, like you use the language, you're like, you know, my soul's desire. We don't really, you know, all of our language is kind of religious kind of base, like, you know, God's will for me or my soul's desire, the universe. Like we are awkward, I think, as a people right now of describing it, but there's something which can drive and fuel each of us into our direction through the paradigm, but we have to be outside of the paradigm to feel it, see it, see it, and hear it. And that also includes paradigm religions. So the course is all about like laying this model out in a very, very agnostic way. And what I mean by agnostic is like, I don't really have, there's not a specific way to understand it. There's nothing to worship. It's understanding how the game works so that you can utilize this, these abilities or this information, which is all, you can test it. You can go and test it for yourself. You're not accepting it blindly, but you know what to test so that then you can go and begin to apply it so that it may fuel you as you walk your authentic path. And so, you know, this is a long kind of like way for me to come back around to. I invited you three because I've identified you three as people who are in my personal life who are already doing it. And I want to go and add this information, which you've already been doing like naturally, so that now you could have like maybe an even greater perspective in terms of what you're doing, and then maybe even additional skills so that you can even settle more deeply into your unique paths.
Honored to be here, Mike. This is, I'm so glad. And I think I'm gonna probably rewatch everything again because when we started getting into all those charts, my goodness, it's good stuff. You really gotta like sit and let it sink in for a while, let it simmer.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is amazing.
I need to do the same, which is probably why I tossed the baton to you so quickly, Mike. But yeah, it was, I appreciate everything you're saying, Cole, Aaron. I'm glad that Mike included the three of us, and I think the both of you could join me individually on my show and we'd have awesome conversations. I hope we do that soon. But yeah, it's interesting, Mike, to hear your perspective on that, because I was feeling a little bit like, all right, when's the shoe gonna drop? When is Mike gonna reveal that he's been testing us this whole time? So I hope there's no test questions, but I will say there were a few aspects of the Grounding Consciousness course that I've slowly learned since I've become familiar with your work, and then subsequently through our conversations, it's sort of given me the ability to recognize where I was already doing it and then lean into that. So like when we had that conversation with Tom Sherman, I got a calendar from him, and it's a cyclical calendar that you can use multiple years. So I've been using it since then. And it's, I think, part of what's kind of slipped me away from being more enmeshed in the days of the week and the cycle of the year. I do kind of feel like maybe even to a, I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing. It's, you know, I can become irresponsible when I'm just sort of drifting, but I do enjoy that state of mind and not feeling so constrained by what I now know is just this false matrix of ideas.
Yeah, well said, Mark. And I think that's one of the interesting takeaways from Grounding Consciousness that a lot of the folks in the class got. And that takeaway being that there is the real time, which is proceeding above us in the skies and around us during the seasons. And then there is the false time, which is taking place like clockwork in society. And it's all laid out based on whoever knows what. Like, it's old. Maybe, Mike, you can get into that a little bit more. But it seems like that was the main demarcation line, was between the real natural time as we experience in nature and then the false time, which is presented to us by society. And then, of course, all of the other aspects of meaning, which are placed onto both sides of those, symbolism, which is placed onto both sides of those lines to try and further control the minds of the people.
So particularly as it relates to the, like, the different types of time mechanisms, I would, the course begins with really a focus on the relationship between your inner world and then the outer world. And wherever, like, whoever you are, like, this is how it works. Wherever you put your attention out there, there are two things that matter. It's like where you put your attention and then how you define what you're putting your attention to. So, excuse me. So two different people could put their attention on the exact same thing, but if they have two different internal definitions on what they are putting their attention to, they're going to have two different experiences. So there's like a lot of variables in what I'm trying to point out. No matter what you put your attention to, you're going to create a feedback loop. And it is on that feedback loop is more or less where your life is going to be woven upon. And the entire paradigm system is, you know, whatever it is, is set up in such a way that it is only supported by everyone putting their attention to it. And it rewards you for putting your attention to it. And it's all around you. So you think, like, of course, where else am I going to put my attention? And blah, 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 blah. Even when you think you're not adding to the paradigm or being part of it, excuse me, you still are in many cases because, like, built into the paradigm feeding system is the opposition. Like, I could fight the system and they throw me in jail, but jail is just part of the paradigm system. Like, you know, like what the real way of you know, quote unquote, fighting the system is feeding something else. And the foundation of the system is time. That is the foundation of all false realities. All cultures begin first and foremost by how the people define the perception of time. If you can, that doesn't mean you don't, like, you know, what day is today? Today's Thursday. It doesn't mean, like, I don't recognize it's Thursday. It doesn't mean, like, I don't know, like, what the calendar is, but I'm not just unconsciously accepting it. And as you become more and more familiar outside of the paradigm timekeeping system, what you're doing is you're building a feedback loop outside of the paradigm. And in fact, if we're looking at it like from like planetary time models, like you're building it in the time systems which the paradigm is built upon. So what this means is there are two levels. There are two levels for this, in my opinion. So level one is just like the surface level, which is like, okay, I want to disconnect from the paradigm, because if I don't, I am a human resource and I'm a useful idiot, and I'm supporting it even though I don't realize I'm supporting it, and I don't want to do that. So I want to move outside of it so that at the very least I can be in it and not of it. Like Cole does a beautiful job when he was explaining that, you know, all of like the stuff with Babylon and all the stuff with like interest rates and like how, like, he's still working in Babylon, but he's not of it. Like, there's that possibility, and part of the course and part of, like, you know, living is like, how do I still be in it? I'm not trying to live a lone life yet on a mountaintop. I still have to interact with paradigm, but how can I not be grounded in it? So all of that, that's like the first level of why this information is important and to be shared. But the deeper truth, or at least the deeper truth for me as an individual, has to do with, and this is where it gets, like, not everyone can swallow the pill, which I'm about to go and throw out there. If there's going to be a different reality other than the technocratic dictatorship which is coming, and they're seducing everyone to become part of the technocratic dictatorship which is coming, like, the only way that something different is going to happen is the people who are going to create it have to be connected outside of it. And that's what this is doing. So yes, you can go and still go and be in the system and not of it, but through like sheer numbers, and I don't think anyone is actually going to know what they're doing, but by being connected outside of the paradigm value system, you've opened yourself up for something new to come in. I don't know what the future looks like other than the paradigm future that they've painted for us. They painted like three different versions of what it can look like. A different reality has to, if it's truly a different reality, you can't imagine it. So thinking that you're imagining it, you're just imagining it with paradigm pictures that they gave you. So it's like kind of going in blind. So the people who are doing this practice are opening themselves up to go and create something that they don't even realize they're creating. That is what motivates me. That is the reality which I'm interested in. And the moment, if I were to get up and start telling you what the future is going to look like, well, then I've just like circled back into the paradigm. The moment you got someone who's going to start telling you, like, this is what we're going to create, this future based upon this Bitcoin cryptocurrency, and everyone is going to be equal, and like, no, it's like, we don't know. But what we can do is have some degree of consensus in moving forward into the unknown and how we're doing it.
Heck yeah. And Mike, I also wanted to say, I was thinking when you were talking earlier, the reason why at least we're here, I think I resonate with your story a lot. I heard you talking about it in depth with Alex Zek on his podcast maybe about like a month or two ago. And your whole journey of like the life you were living and leaving that and the lady you were married to and people thinking you're crazy. And I just remember there was more details and like it was this time where it's about to get good and then everything comes crashing down. That was like when you were saying the events that unfolded, like the peaks and valleys almost lined up exactly where mine were in like the past couple of years. And I gotta say, shout out to you because I feel like maybe you're like a variation of a future version of me. We both from New Jersey, I believe. So I just had
I'm from Maryland. I'm from Maryland, but I lived in Richmond.
All right, fair enough. But yeah, that was just how it lined up was pretty incredible. And I didn't want to forget to say that.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Cole.
I wanted to ask you about something that you said during the course. I think it was the third class, maybe the fourth class, which was my third class because I missed the third class. But yeah, I think it was the fourth class where we talked about Chiron. And I'm curious if we could talk a little bit more about that before I ask my question. Just give the audience listening a little background on what Chiron is, the wounded healer, I remember symbolically, but maybe a little background.
So part of what I do in that class, in the class, is it's hard to put it in a paradigm sort of box. Like the paradigm box is like, I'm in astrology. I'm for astrology. Astrology is important, or astrology is a bunch of shit. And, you know, I'm into astronomy. Or like, you know, it's this either or. And, you know, I kind of take a middle path. And I think there's nothing more important for a human being alive with an awareness of the mystery. There's nothing more important for them to know than their natal chart. It doesn't mean what their natal chart means. It means like, no, I literally know all the placements. I know that my sun's at this degree in this sign and this zodiac, and my north node is in this degree in this sign and this zodiac. If you can know your social security number, if you have your social security memorized, you paradigm bitch, and you don't know your fucking, if you don't know your natal chart, your value system is so upside down. Like, so, okay. So that's where I come with astrology. I use Chiron in the course as a, and it's not just, let me, before I go into Chiron, it's recognizing how astrology and astronomy are, they only work if you're doing them together. And there's certain things in astrology you should drop, and there's certain things in astronomy you should drop, but you can go and work them together. And it's a very, very tangible and significant tool. So that said, Chiron, there are two case studies I did of planets. And the reason why I brought up Chiron is because Chiron, which has become in an astrology perspective, like almost as significant as the primary personal and social planets. That means like Moon, Sun, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter and Saturn. And then Chiron is right there, like more important or more significant than like a lot of the other asteroids, which find themselves in the astrological model. So Chiron's become this big deal. And Chiron was discovered in 1977. And the reason why that's interesting is because particularly now, like what is it? It's Gregorian year 2025. So 77 is 23 plus 25. So 48 years ago, almost 50 years ago. Like it's still within this time frame. There are people that were born before, myself included, before Chiron was discovered, and then it was discovered. So that kind of like asks, it begs for the question, is like, well, did Chiron matter? Did Chiron not matter before it was discovered? What about people who died right afterwards? Like, can I go back and look at someone's chart who's dead before Chiron, but now I can back into where their Chiron placement would be? Like the fact that it was discovered recently, like it forces the mind to begin to ask questions. That's why Chiron is so important. And then Chiron is just filled, like because it was discovered so recently, like we can't look at Mars. We can't go back into ancient Babylon or ancient Greece and imagine what they thought of Mars. We can just do our best from the history we're taught. But we can go back and see how Chiron was introduced into the collective consciousness. And we can see, Chiron was discovered by this astrophysicist, and he named it Chiron for such and such reason. And the symbol of Chiron, which looks like a key, had that symbol for such and such reason. And then we can go and look at that information and juxtapose it towards the astrology. Like this guy who discovered it, he wasn't necessarily saying that Chiron is going to be all about the wounded healer. By naming it Chiron, he named it Chiron for a completely different set of reasons, but Chiron does have a correspondence through Greek mythology of the wounded healer, and then that became its astrological meaning. So the questions I'm putting forth is well, what comes first? Does the astrological meaning follow the name? Did he name this because unconsciously he knew about Chiron was supposed to be discovered now? And I'm not giving answers to any of these questions as much as I'm pointing out these are questions which you can ask about the nature of astrology and the nature of reality. And as we go through that particular case study, I mean, it's my opinion, you should be left with more questions than answers because, the deeper you go with it, the more Carl Jung was the guy who came up with Chiron being the wounded healer. And Carl Jung created our understanding of the subconscious or the shadow realm. And he was also a psychiatrist or a psychologist who is a deep astrologer, and he's also part of the paradigm, and he's who gives us all of these these understandings of the shadow self. And so you begin to question, just look at all of the assumptions. That's what I'm really hoping to do, is to begin to allow us to question sacred cows so that we can feel comfortable moving into the unknown.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, remember every episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast is ad-free. You get it early, video episodes, bonus episodes, and again, every episode ad-free, a completely premium RSS feed that you can plug into whatever app you're already using to listen to the podcast. So don't wait. Go over to patreon.com/MFTIC, wherever you browse the web. Make sure you don't go through the Apple podcasting app because they will charge you more for your dollar. So go and sign up at the $5 tier. I just opened up the $2 and $3 tiers. And remember, every episode is ad-free on the Patreon. So sign up there, support the show. Be included in the running for our $250 Amazon gift card that I'm going to give away to one of the supporters when we reach our goal of 500 Patreon supporters. So sign up now, and we'll be right back after this quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about my favorite new sponsor. That's Mood. I love Mood because they're providing affordable, accessible, convenient, and transparent cannabis that's 100% legal and grown on small pesticide-free American farms. That's right, American cannabis for American listeners, and it's 100% legal. They've got a full selection of cannabis products. I was a huge fan of their Tangy flower. Wow, it really brought me back to when I first tried Tangy, and it was incredible. So if you have any doubts, try Mood for yourself, and I doubt you'll be disappointed. Use the promo code CRAZY and get 20% off your first order at mood.com. That's 100% federally legal cannabis, pesticide-free, delivered directly to your front door in a discreet package. Mood.com, promo code CRAZY, and trust me, folks, you're going to love this stuff. I give it the Mystic Mark guarantee. And Mood is going to back that up because not only do they stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee. But as I mentioned, you get 20% off your first order with promo code CRAZY. When life's song falters in the night and courage seems to drown, hymns lifts your spirit anew so desires can fully abound. For strength and passion to reign supreme when love's dance calls to play, hymns offers remedies that ignite your flame and help extend your stay. If dormant flames in passion's den leave your heart feeling withdrawn, hymns fuels the fire with ease and care, reviving where it's gone. When tailored cures to fan the spark, no doctor's door you need to seek. Reclaim your confidence and zest through hymns' discreet technique. For men who face such silent storms within the heart's domain, hymns ushers comfort quietly with solutions that remain. Holy online bespoke to you, removing burdens, lightning strain. Renew yourself with whispered ease. Let passion's song again be free. Start your free online visit today at hymns.com/crazy. That's hims.com/crazy for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/crazy. The featured products include compounded products which are not approved nor verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality by the FDA. Prescription required. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
So you were going to ask me a question about Chiron specifically. Please go with that, Mark.
Thank you. So, and you might have touched on this, but I was doing a little calculating while you were talking, so I might have missed this, but you mentioned how Chiron was discovered, named, publicized the same year that Star Wars was released, right?
It was discovered in 1977.
Okay.
1977 was a huge year culturally.
Yeah. And these are these cultural milestones that I think a part of what you're talking about isn't just taking yourself out of that humdrum, mundane Rockefeller, ring a bell, you're on our clock. It's also the cultural touch points that they release in this annual cyclical way that you can, I don't know, because it feels like in the conspiracy community that we find ourselves in generally with these podcasts, there's a lot of obsession with decoding all of this stuff. And it almost feels like what we're embracing through this course is the ability to let all of that influence subside and be observable, but not have that same potency that it would if we were just living obliviously through the cycle.
All right, that's a great point. My approach, and so the course is the course is what makes sense to me as an individual, And when I share it with other individuals, it's not meant to say, like, this is the way things are. It's like, here's something to add to the way you are. And you take what makes sense to you. You let go what doesn't. Like, you know, allow this to meet you the way you are. So that's my general approach. So that being said, as a professional astrologer, the biggest stumbling block of being free, of being authentic, of being spontaneous in the paradigm is like meaning. And astrology is like the best. And conspiracy, what you said, is also a great example. It's like, oh, what does that mean? You know, well, what is Chiron in the third house square my Mars? What does that mean? What does that mean? You know, all the decoding, what does that mean? And you get stuck in that. But at the end of the day, what really matters in your life, in my opinion, is your fucking life. You know, that's why the three of you are like, why I invited you in this course, and why in my personal system, like, I hold all three of you high up, is because of your life path, the way you meet life and the journey of your life. You know, that doesn't mean like you guys are constantly winning, like, you know, five Super Bowl rings or anything like that. What my respect is, where you earn my respect, is the authenticity of living a life, facing risk, putting that secondary to your own natural interests or desires. And so it's life path, which I think is the truest and the highest form. Like, how do you live your life? And the purest form of, in my opinion, of astrology, and what I'm going to define astrology as, is personal meaning in the from the celestial realm. That's astrology. Personal meaning, the celestial realm, which is different than astronomy when you're just studying it and there's no personal meaning, which is kind of funny because I talked about meaning. But the personal meaning is like, hey, I'm having a connection. I'm not just like looking at the sun. I'm looking at the sun as it's relative to me in my unique journey. Astrology, or like the celestial realm in its most true relationship with the human being, is to provide bearings. Like, in the most tangible way, you're like a Phoenician, you're on the boat in the middle of the Atlantic, and it is the stars that you use to find your bearings when all you see all around you on the horizon is water. That is, it's time and its bearings, what the celestial realm is first and foremost, its relationship with the human being. Not any sort of like, you know, meaning set of the zodiac. So that being said, when we can begin to go and meet the celestial realm with kind of like an astrological heart, meaning like there's something of significance to me being lost in this mystery. Like, I don't know where I am. I don't know how I got here, but I know I'm here, and I know this is overhead, and this is providing me something. And then to be able to meet it like that is really where astrology matters, or is tangible. And how that's done is through timing. First and foremost, like the time of the movement or the orbits of the head of like the sun and the moon and all of the planets, when you have the point of reference of your natal chart. I said that in the beginning. If you don't know your natal chart, like, you're missing the boat. Your natal chart provides you a point of reference for all of the other things that are in constant movement. And what's the point of reference for? So that you can take pause and look around your life and see what's happening. And so, like, that's the first layer. Like, that's like, you do it for just that reason. But there's a deeper reason. Just as I said before, it's like I'm teaching the class to get people like out of the paradigm so they could be out of it, but, you know, still interact with it. But the deeper reason is like, no, this is how if there's going to be a different reality besides like the technocratic dictatorship, which the paradigm is creating, this is the only way it's going to be is by taking consciousness outside of the paradigm. When you begin to understand your natal chart and the movement of the heavens as just a timing mechanism, not a meaning mechanism, but a timing mechanism. You define the friggin' meaning. You tell yourself 1,000 stories every single day. The whatever story you tell yourself, you're going to prove it to be true. So the meaning doesn't matter. It's not true in astrology. Your zodiac will change, but what never changes is the timing. When you become linked up and understand the timing with your conscious mind, this is the feedback loop which you're creating. The feedback loop is like, I understand what time it is. I understand what's happening in how in the heavens right now and how it relates to when I was born in this mystery. Something else happens, and I call it the Dennis Rodman principle. And what that basically is that in the same way that everything in the paradigm is an inversion of a truth, the amazing algorithms that make up your internet are based upon another thing, another algorithm of life. And when you become connected with the timing of reality and you free yourself from what it means, but you know what it is and when it's happening, you're feeding a feedback loop with timing itself. And what happens is your life becomes more intertwined with the algorithm of life. What does that mean? It's like I'm in the right place at the right time and I don't even know it. I'm not even going to know it till 6 weeks later.
If I can emphasize here the metaphor of like navigating by the stars, and on a boat or in life, navigating by the direct observation of the stars. So taking that view of the astrological chart and then translating that into an actual real knowledge of the placements and the timing as you're discussing, and then really working with that direct relationship to move forward in a trust of what is yet to come in the future. And as it seems, all three of us, we are very grateful to have been invited to your course, Mike, because all three of us, including yourself as well, Mike, are involved in the creation of this future that we are not necessarily fully aware of, like what it is or what is to come. However, the direct experience of viewing the heavens and being in that alignment with the natural timing, with our point of reference being our natal chart, is it's a visceral sensation, and it allows one to have more confidence and more stability as we move through these interesting waves of life towards the inevitable alternative society that we are forming.
Without a doubt. And it's like, that's what the grounding consciousness means. Like consciousness meaning you're like your thinking mind, and I'm grounding it in something which doesn't have contradictions. That's what the name means. And that will meet each person. What's so fascinating about the three of you is you all have, well, you guys have very different lives and lifestyles. There are certain ways they're familiar. This type of practice meets you no matter how you want to live, whatever your interest is. Like, you're going to be who you're going to be. So yeah. You use the word trust. You have trust because you have faith. And so that's a big part of it. The paradigm is completely based upon, they won't acknowledge the fact that this is a mystery. And they're going to tell you, I've got all the answers, even though we've got none of the answers. And so then the only thing which people can actually have faith and trust in is like, well, I know the Super Bowl is going to happen next January or February.
And that becomes the timing. That becomes the timing that people are tuned into.
Yes.
The Grammy Awards. They care about the Super Bowl. They care about their kid's soccer season. And they care about, you know, when the Game of Thrones episode is coming out. That becomes their timing instead of when the celestial bodies are moving in the heavens, which ones are prominent at which times of night and where the sun is. You know, is it high up or is it low down on the horizon?
You know, and it's not that that information itself matters. It's the fact that you're paying attention to it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what matters. And so that's like kind of like the trickiness of it. It's like, okay, well, do I need to go and learn it? It's like, be easy with yourself. Be easy with it. Like, be curious. But realize something else is happening when you're doing this. Something else is happening.
You know, both of us also used to live in the forest. I still do. So it brings you outside of your, like, you know, false security protective bubble of, you know, a house, because you're almost forced to, when you're in Florida, even in the wintertime, when the sun starts hitting your back of your van or your tent, it's kind of too hot to keep sleeping. So you're up with the sun. And when you're trying to get a little snack or, you know, take a leak, when you're late at night, you see the moon and you see the stars, and it's almost like, since we're living outside, you're more in tune with the nature cycles and systems and all that.
Yeah, well said, Cole. And just to enhance what you said there, Cole's been living outside for quite some time and like traveling on the road. And I lived on the road for like 4 years. And during that time, there was many instances where my main timekeeping was the sun and the moon.
Oh yeah.
And to this day, even though I now live indoors, I still awaken with the sun and make a daily practice of doing a little sun gazing at the start of each day. But yeah, that sensation of being in time and aligned with the movement of the celestial bodies is so visceral. It goes so far beyond an alarm clock. It's like a deep physical and spiritual motion taking place within the soul and the body.
Well,
when one awakens or when one is ready for slumber.
There's the obvious changes of the seasons and the daytime, but I'm wondering, you know, Cole particularly, and Aaron, you too, if you guys notice any, in relation to what you've learned from Mike, any real like specific reactions from plants to the cycles? Because I know certain plants will flower at very specific points in, you know, depending on certain, you know, maybe the moon or different astral forces potentially.
Reading through my notes right now, I definitely have felt more effects from both, like, the new moon. Some say to set intentions, others say to do a parasite cleanse during the full moon, stuff like that. But I haven't noticed anything with flowers specifically. One thing I have noticed that I haven't really heard many people talk about is that when the dandelions come out, they actually open and close with the sun every single day. So people think of dandelions and it's either like that little white ball where you blow the seeds everywhere, or it's an open flower. But actually, when the sun comes up, the flowers open. And if it becomes really cloudy or later into the night, they close up. So if you go out at, like, you know, 5, 6 p.m. in the summertime, the dandelions are all going to be closed. And that is probably one of my favorites.
Interesting.
So far. But I'll look.
Sunflowers, I learned recently, do something similar where they'll follow the sun. Like, you think they're just static in the field, but as the sun rises, they turn and follow the sun each day.
Heck yeah. I saw someone do like a fast motion camera whatever it was.
Time
and it
lapse.
Time lapse.
Yeah.
It's more than just sunflowers. So this is one of the things which I talked about, I think, in episode or in course 3, is, you know, there's ideas, there are theories out there, like, you know, the Saturn death cult. What's that guy? Troy McClure, about, you know, the sun, the sun is not authentic to the earth. And that's just one idea of a theory. We also know that through astrotheology that, you know, whoever's on the other side of the curtain, Like, there's a curtain. There's a curtain in the paradigm, and there's someone on the other side. It could be you and me, or it could be like a bunch of archons, or the archons could be you and me. Like, we don't know. That's the whole thing about like accepting that's a mystery. But what we do know is there's a curtain. And what the curtain folks do is they tell the story of the sun in a very, very like everything is an allegory of the sun. And one of my first questions I had when I first learned about this as an occurrence of like the way paradigm and the control system works is like, well, why? Like, why would you need to go and tell me these religions based upon allegories of the sun? Why wouldn't you just tell me it's the fucking sun? Like, I never really understood that. Like, that was my first question. Like, I certainly am a little bit deeper with that now. But the point I'm trying to make is, like, the sun's history is undoubtedly cloudy or murky with humanity. But what is also true, like, whether or not we're like, authentically, organically Earth connected to the sun or what have you, the sun influences all of life on Earth right now. And it's not just those flowers. The sun has as much influence on the human being, if not more, than it is the flowers. You just can't feel it. It's so subtle. In the same way, you don't recognize that like every day you're getting a little bit more sunlight or a little bit less sunlight. It's just in the backdrop, but it's there. The sun is immensely significant. It controls your secretions, which control like your contentment. It controls like the absence of the sun is the release of melatonin, which is just like the pineal transmutating the serotonin. Like everything in our body is solar influenced. And so the point being is, if paradigm has already made everyone immensely connected to the sun in a subconscious way through all of this like you know, allegorical astrotheology in their religions, but the sun controls everything, but you're not really recognizing it. Like, when you bring that to front and center, like, you're no longer living in the shadows, like, literally, metaphorically and literally, like, you're now taking a much more established role in your own life. Like, understanding the sun and not worshiping the sun, but recognizing the sun for what it does is, I think, very paramount in terms of becoming embodied in this experience of being life, of being alive in a body in this mystery that we're all sharing together.
Yeah, and if I can just hop in here real quick and take it pretty deep, guys. Interacting with the sun is really important for a lot of things. And whether or not it's a natural or organic thing, it does have great benefits to our health and the health of our plants to be able to receive pure, unadulterated sunlight. And with what's been going on in the skies for the past many, many decades, and which has increased over the last 7 or 8 years significantly, the spraying of bullshit, quite honestly, haze, trails, whatever you want to call it, with all of that in the sky, the pure light of the sun is being adulterated, and people aren't able to have that connection with this symbol of divinity and with this emanation of warmth and life. So with the other work that you have talked about, Mike, especially some of your collaborations with the gentleman from Philadelphia on freeing your mound and such.
Ross Ben.
Yeah, all that good stuff, which I highly recommend people to look into. And geomancy in general, we can interact with the sky through sacred sites and through working with the energies of the earth and elementals. And we can bring clarity and purification to the environment above us, and thereby increase the light we are receiving from the day and the night. We can increase the clarity with which the light of the stars reaches us, and we can increase the potency and clarity of the light that comes from the sun. and thereby further enhance our connection with the natural timing and our ability to navigate by the stars, because they are clearly represented by their natural light.
And how do you do that, Aaron?
Well, there's a lot of ways.
Give us your number one way.
Number one way, I would suggest Slim Sperling's Universe is a great book for people to read. And we can get...
Say that again slowly.
Slim Sperling's Universe. It's by Cal Garrison. It's a wonderful book. I believe there's a Kindle online for like $9. And it's a great book that talks about tensor technology. And that is one of the best ways to clear the sky. Tensor harmonizers work fantastically well at purifying the environment.
What is tensor technology in
the middle? That is a deep dive, Mr. Mike.
But give me the 30-second answer.
Sure, sure. It's copper antennas that are using particular ratios and style of construction and geometries to assist with the purification of the environment, the structuring of water in the atmosphere, and the inducing of negative ionic charges into the atmosphere to help with clearing up any kind of pollution.
So it's the material copper and the way it's twisted and in the ratios that create some sort of impact. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, and actually I think Cole he's outside grabbing one right now. We'll show you guys here in a second.
What happens if you use or have one of these? Like, how does that translate into like something actual?
Makes you go like,
what happens?
Right. Well, so this is a tensor harmonizer, as we were just speaking about. And basically what these devices do is they absorb ambient energy from the environment and then purify and restructure that to a stable and beneficial energy, which is then rebroadcast, emanates back out from the device, and has the positive effect, which can include anything from psychological stabilization all the way up to clearing up haze in the sky.
How do you define beneficial? You said it does like the beneficial output of waves.
So that's definitely like a subjective thing. Okay. I'm glad you asked that. And beneficial would be something along the lines of lower crime rates. More
life affirming?
Lower crime rates.
But I'm saying like anything that's life affirming.
Oh yeah, life affirming. Yeah, anything beneficial that would increase like one's peace and happiness and joy, and such as, you know, an ability to sleep better, deeper meditative states, and of course more clear and pure sunlight coming down to your crops.
Mm. All right. So now the next question I have for you is there, so that's just like that's just copper in circles. Is there anywhere in the paradigm construct of reality where they're using like copper, like round in circles like that?
I mean, yeah, there's like tons of machines. I guess I don't necessarily have a specific example right now. But if you open...
Isn't that what every single electrical transistor and how they create electricity and all their power plants, aren't they just coiled copper with magnets? Yeah. And then so the technology that you're showing right there is the same technology or the same blueprint or the same model which the paradigm uses. They invert it and then they supercharge it by shooting the electricity through it as they create electricity. But there's a fundamental truth about coiled copper and this realm, no matter how you see it, whether from a paradigm lens or from an alternative lens, grounded copper affects reality here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's just raw natural material. You know, this is some element that was created and is here with us, and we can interact with it, and we can either engineer it to be used in electronics devices, like how you just mentioned, or we can engineer it to interact in a more natural way with the environment and bring a beneficial energy.
All right. That sounds phenomenal.
Yeah.
Mark, I know we talked about doing about 90 minutes. I didn't know if we want to just open up to any last sort of comments or questions.
I did have somewhere I was going with the Chiron. I just didn't.
Oh, my God. Mark, I forgot about the Chiron.
That's all right.
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. It's sort of a loose arrangement of ideas, but I don't know. And you're kind of bringing it back into the circuit with the copper coil conversation. So, because I was thinking about coils and loops, but in the sense of the cycle that we're observing through grounding our consciousness, and that's a great tool for grounding. But in the mental realm of things, it seems like there's cycles at play. And you mentioned how Star Wars was related to Chiron. I think that's a little ironic, that just the naming of that, considering everything we're talking about, you know, a war mindset applied to the stars. It's very industrial revolution, technical dystopia sort of mindset. But Lucas, who wrote Star Wars, was inspired by Joseph Campbell. Joseph Campbell was inspired by James Joyce, who wrote the most baffling cyclical novel, Finnegan's Wake. And then that, in my mind, kind of connects to Tolkien and everything I've been learning about Tolkien recently. I just spoke with author Eric Wargo about time loops and precognition, and there's a very precognitive element to Tolkien's story. And in a way, he's sort of going back in time, reaching back into the past through all these mythologies he studied to synthesize them into Lord of the Rings, which in many ways is like an antithesis to Star Wars, at least just in the sense of their genres. But what that connects specifically to for me, that again, this is a loose arrangement of ideas I'm trying to shoehorn together. Tolkien made a pact with C.S. Lewis that they would, something about, you know, you write this, I'll write this. And C.S. Lewis agreed to write a time travel novel. And he ended up doing it. I don't think it was really a notable novel. I don't remember. That's not really relevant to my point. But what's interesting is C.S. Lewis, Aldous Huxley, and JFK all died within 3 hours of each other. And I was wondering,
JFK, Aldous Huxley, and
C.S. Lewis, the author of Chronicles of Narnia.
They all died on, what would that be? November 22nd, 1963.
Yeah. So I pulled up the chart for that day, and I don't know, maybe this is counter to everything we're talking about. Maybe it fits, but I thought maybe we could look at this chart and with that in mind of what happened, again, in the sense of how these things are reflective of what's going on in the heavens, you know. I don't know. What do you think? Let's take a look at
that. Are you going to pull it up?
Yes, I am. So again, a long-winded way to get to this.
Will you zoom into it?
Yeah, let me.
What's the time and place of this chart?
So this is the day.
It's probably around 12 o'clock.
Yeah, 12:30 on November 22nd, 1963. And about an hour.
What time zone?
And this was central time zone.
When was JFK shot?
Noon, around 12:30.
All right.
Yeah. And or at least he was pronounced dead at 12:30. So he possibly was shot earlier than that. But yeah, then C.S. Lewis and Aldous Huxley just so happened to die in the same day, given they were, you know, older men and died of natural causes to some degree. I think one of them fell ill. I think Aldous Huxley had a bad illness and died. But yeah, this was the day.
So what was your interest like with this? Like,
I just thought it was like a major coincidence and thought, why not bring it up? Maybe you had something interesting to say about it. Maybe not. If not, that's fine too.
Well, so the beauty of the human mind and the realm which we live in is we're creative beings and we're imaginative. So bring that back up. Bring that image back up.
Okay. Should be up again.
So what someone would do is like you'd go and you'd see like Venus and Mars are conjunct. You see where they're conjunct, like in Sagittarius around 11 o'clock on the circle.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Saturn and the moon. They're almost the same place, right? And they were rising at this time. Like that vertical line where it says AS, that's literally the eastern horizon. So that means like at 12:30, the moon was just rising. It was about a quarter moon. The Saturn was there. We can see Pluto's right next to, Pluto squared the moon, I think I saw it said. It doesn't look like it squared the moon. But anyway, so the point I'm trying to make is a creative human being would be able to go and take this chart and I could weave to you a story. And I could talk about the archetypes of the moon and the archetypes of Pluto, and it would make sense. But the truth of the matter is, like, those same sort of relationships probably happened a thousand other times where three famous people did not die. And so that is like this, the where I'm going with this, and this might not have been where you thought we were going to go with this, is like, that's the slippery slope of astrology when you start going with meaning. What would probably be more interesting, if you ask me, is look at that chart compared to JFK's chart or to Aldous Huxley's chart or C.S. Lewis's chart. At least there's like a point of reference in what we're comparing to. But at the end of the day, what matters the most is like what happened. You know, there are a lot of people that say that JFK didn't die that day, right? That it was all just a stage, right? That would certainly change how we would interpret a lot of different things. The, you know, for me to kind of like begin to wrap up this conversation, the reason why I'm teaching the grounding consciousness course is to demystify the relationship and between the individual and the heavens, to not to solve the mystery or to clarify the mystery of life, but perhaps to become more integrated with it. And this question which you posed at the end of the day, like, you know, all that I think really matters is the fact that those three did die at that same time. And that in itself is, it's thought-provoking, particularly when you consider the relationship all three of those had on those individuals had on the collective consciousness. But I'm much more intrigued by the individual and their life path. And so as I begin to wrap this up, there are two things which, well, what I'd like to do is, one is I'm getting ready to release or to do for the first time. So this is actually the first time that I'm going to be doing grounding consciousness level two. And grounding consciousness level one was just all concept. It was all concept so that for level two, we can go and actually do something. And I teach you how to go and use your chart to identify your specific relationship with the timing of reality, and then how to meet that in a way which does not limit you by giving it meaning. And I would like to extend my invitation to all three of you, like, to come and join the class. I'm keeping this class at only 15 people. I think seven have already signed up. And I could share with you three the details behind, you know, when we're done recording. So I wanted to go and share that. And then also for those who are listening who would be interested, like this information in this course is a changing, and it's a living, breathing sort of thing. And so each time it's offered is a little bit different based upon both me as a facilitator and then also the people who are in it. The next time I'm going to offer this course, I'm going to offer it four times during the year. So the next time is going to be in June and then in October. If you're listening to this, if you're inspired, hit me up with an email. You know, I'm not in the business of running a workshop business, but that's kind of what I'm doing. There's not a website. Hit me up with an email, and I'm starting to form the list right now for these classes. So this is how you get into it.
And if I can just say as well, the course contents, you know, we tried to cover some of it today in the discussion. And Mike, I think you did a good job of running across some of the different aspects and topics of this type of course material. But really, it's so deep that it does require an extensive period of time and some serious inner looking thought to be able to integrate the information that's in this course. So for those people who are interested in like really taking their understanding of the night sky and life in general to the next level, this is a class that should not be missed.
I appreciate that endorsement, Aaron. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. It's not often that my mind is blown, and I can count on one hand how many times that's happened in the last 5 years. And one of those goes to the grounding consciousness class.
I appreciate the feedback. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, I have to say, Mike, I really appreciate you inviting me to do this. And I appreciate all three of you for joining me here on the show. Cole, any final thoughts? I want to give everybody a chance to speak before we wrap up.
Please.
I just had one question about a quote. I wrote all of the Mike Wan quotes. And this one is more like from the class. And you were saying, because like a lot of what we're doing is like intuitive work, you know, you're looking for the sign, seeing how it feels, using discernment. You said the rational mind is the servant to the intuitive mind. And my question for you is, since so many people seem to have blocked off their third eye and their intuition, how would that work with their rationality? Would they be more irrational if they are not intuitive? Or, you know, is there going to be a blockage there? You don't have to go too deep, or you can, but I was just thinking about how that relates to each other for people who are not super intuitive.
I would say that it makes you more, so the less connected you are, so there are two connection points. One is connection with what we call intuition. And we talked about that in the class by framing up the concept of what's called super consciousness from an NLP model. So we're always connected to super consciousness. That's life. You know, that's, we're always part of it. But then, you know, you could be disconnected from maybe hearing it. And then the second part of the disconnect would then be with the rational mind. If their intuitive mind is disconnected on either with the rational mind or with through super consciousness, what that does is it strengthens the influence of the rational mind. And you started with the quote. That wasn't my quote. I forget who said it. I think it was Einstein. Like, and the irony is, if you know your Einstein history, but like Einstein was a shill. Like, he didn't exist. He stole someone else's ideas. So that's like the joke, in my opinion, of like when you get into conspiracy, is because everything you could poke holes through. But that being said, it's a very valid quote, or an interesting quote, where it is, the rational mind, which our paradigm values so much, should be the servant to the intuitive mind. So the intuitive mind is inspiration. And then as you have inspiration, you put it through the filter of the rational mind to kind of make sense of it. Like, that's kind of why I was asking Aaron these questions about the copper tensor rings and the actual machinery and objects you make, is because if you're just on the intuitive mind, you're like, whoa, dude, that's awesome. And I'm not grounded. It's like, no, if you're not grounded, you're going to be taken anywhere. You want to take your intuition where you're inspired. I see what you showed me, Aaron. I feel it in my heart. I'm curious to know more. Now explain it to me like I'm a child so I can understand it. That's the relationship of the intuitive mind. My intuitive mind tells me that you're working with something of great truth, and now I want to understand it with my rational mind. When your intuitive mind is not in play, all you have is your rational mind. And if all you have is your rational mind, then you are in 9 out of 10 times a subject to indoctrination. Because you're just left in like this circle of like, well, you know, that my doctor told me that I should take this prescription medicine. And I saw on TV that prescription medicine and that motherfucker was smiling. He looked really, really happy. Like he wasn't burning from like anal leakage. So maybe I should take it too. Like, I mean, that's like the rational mind comes from that. Like where the intuitive mind's like, don't listen to the liars. Don't listen to the liars. But like the rational mind, when it is not connected to the intuitive mind, is stuck in the loop of the paradigm. That's why the paradigm uses indoctrination. That's why it really, really values the experts, because when you can go and use a logical fallacy of like experts or anything, which is like, well, they know what they're talking about. Well, then I don't have to like go through that process. So that's kind of how I would answer that question.
Thank you. It's clear.
Thank you, brother.
Right on. Well, that seems like a good place to call it a podcast. Thank you, Mike. And Aaron, Cole, I'd love to have you both on my podcast for interviews because we have a lot more to talk about. We can get into the tensor rings in depth and everything that you've seen over there barefoot in Appalachia, I'm sure. We've talked about it on the show before. Appalachia, it's a strange part of the country. Very old, very beautiful. So thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Mark, get those boys on your show. Like, I mean, I feel like I hijacked a lot of the conversation, but get them on individually so they can share their stories because they're both very, very worthy of the time.
Absolutely. No, I was planning on it. Thanks, Mike. And this episode was all about you and your course. So I hope to see some of the audience listening there with us. I know there were some in the first round that we were a part of. So yeah, looking forward to that. And we'll see you then.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, everyone.
Aaron, Cole, great to see you both.
Good to see you guys. Thanks. Thanks, everyone. Good chat.
All right, that was our conversation with Mike Wan, Aaron of Aether Arts, and Cole from Barefoot Appalachia, all of which were present, including myself, in Mike Wan's excellent Grounding Consciousness course, which Volume 2, Part 2, will be ensuing soon. I don't know when, but I'm sure Mike will let me know. So if you want to join in on that, be sure to follow up with Mike on his social media at Susquehanna Alchemy, because that's where he is most active, and he also has a Telegram group specifically for the Grounding Consciousness course. So look into that. And with that, folks, remember, you got to get every episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast ad-free, bonus episodes, and all that good stuff on the Patreon or the Substack. And when you do, you're going to be included in a raffle for a $250 Amazon gift card. So don't miss out on that. Sign up now, and we are going to be rocking and rolling over to the Patreon. So thank you for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Until then, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. a trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.